It is important that we have a Bible, and many of us have many Bibles, different translations and paraphrases. But we need to know what is contained in it, the Bible, what it says. We need to know how it applies to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Today, I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about the wonderful and most precious gift of salvation. I hope we do still wonder and marvel at the richness and the scope that Jesus offers us in the gift of salvation. When I was an active Salvation Army officer stationed at Uxbridge, there was a young lady who came to the evening meeting from time to time. And she said to me one day, "Well, once you've heard it, haven't you?" And I, for once, was lost for words. I didn't know at that moment how to reply to her. I was so shocked. Once you've heard the message, that's it. It doesn't hold any thrill for us anymore, any joy, any purpose. If it doesn't, then perhaps our prayer should be, as the psalmist wrote, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And again in Psalm 35, he says, "My soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation." These words coming from the psalmist David, who lived long before Jesus, who only had the promises of a coming Saviour to live on, and yet he realized the joy of God's salvation. How much more should it apply to us who have the privilege of knowing the Saviour personally, of experiencing the consequences of his death and resurrection? Where does salvation come from? The Christmas story tells us of the time when the angel said, "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Our reading from Isaiah tells of Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Messiah. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Well, who is this gift of salvation for? Most people who know anything about the Bible can quote John 3:16, and the King James Version, probably, for our generation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The NIV version says, "He gave his one and only Son." How special, how precious was that gift he gave, his one and only Son, and yet the Father was willing to give his Son that we might go free. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And in 1 Timothy 2:4, we read, "God, our Saviour, wants all men," and that includes women, of course, "to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Well, what is the truth about salvation? Well, we're told that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If we acknowledge that we have sinned and cannot cleanse ourselves, and believe that Jesus died and took our sins on himself, ask for forgiveness, he cleanses us and comes and lives in us. That's the truth of salvation. We cannot earn it. It is a gift, a most precious gift, and without it, any other blessing is useless. We do not have to go on doing anything to retain it. God is not mad at us. His love is beyond compare. He doesn't turn his back or have moody fits. His love is consistent. And the gift of salvation is complete. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb and clothed with his righteousness. Not a term we hear very often these days, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Clothed in his righteousness, and our sins are remembered no more. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. And Isaiah 43, verse 25, which was actually the verse the Lord gave me, which started all these thoughts. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. His own sake. Just think what a headache God might have if he could have one, trying to remember the sins of the people of the whole world. But I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. The story is told of a South American priest who committed a sin while he was in training. And although he acknowledged that sin and sought forgiveness, he never really felt that God had forgiven him. In his congregation was a woman who said that God met her in her sleep, in her dreams, and talked with her. And the priest was rather skeptical about this, and he said to her, "Well, next time God comes and speaks to you, ask him what sin it was I committed when I was in training." "Okay," she said, I'll do that. And a few days later, she came back to the priest, and he said, "Well, did you ask him?" "Yes," she said, "I asked him." "And what did he say?" "God said, I don't remember." God doesn't remember our sins. But he does ask us to remember what it cost him to obtain that salvation for us. And so we're going to move straight into communion, remembering what it was that Jesus did for us. Thank you, Brian. And how does he ask us to serve him in majesty? Can we read together words that should come up? Yes, have come up on the screen. Can we read these words together, please? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. A new command. It's not a request. If you'd like to do so, please do. It is a command. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? He loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to forgive us completely. He loved us enough to blot out our sins and forget them. So we too, we may be called to die for one another one day, but more importantly, perhaps just now, is that we desire to die to our desires to please ourselves, but look to the needs of others. To be more ready to forgive as he forgives, to forgive ourselves and to forgive each other very readily of hurts inflicted either intentionally or most of the time unintentionally. To blot our sins out and forget them forever is what he is able to do. Here we have a problem. He's blessed us with a memory, and it's not so easy to forget when other people have hurt us. But what he does ask us to do is to remember without malice or spite, to not talk about it to others, but just to let it go. This is the God we adore, this great and this wonderful one. And that's how he wants to live, for him in majesty.